Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Impact of influence.
Influence. Covering true crime throughout the Southeast.
Hello, friend. I am Matt Harris. Seton Tucker is here. So grateful that you're spending time with us. Much appreciated. And you can find Impact of Influence on Facebook, part of the Evergreen Podcast Company. And of course, we would love it if you would rate the episode, share the episode, comment on the episode, and also comment on the Facebook page. Seton was in Charleston, South Carolina, on April 1st for Alex Murdoch's sentencing hearing. By the way, thanks to CNN. I popped on CNN on the morning of the 1st to do a little break with them about Alex Murdoch's sentencing hearing in federal court for the financial crimes. And was there a crowd?
You know, there was a big crowd of media outside, and they did have an auxiliary courtroom open for media. So I chose to sit there because you could have your technology with you.
Oh, okay.
And you can't in federal court have technology in the main courtroom. And even though we were allowed to have technology in the auxiliary courtroom, you're not allowed to record anything or take any sort of pictures. That's the way it is with the federal government.
So you can take your notes on it. Laptop or phone or
right,
whatever.
And you. I think you're allowed to live tweet or
things like that.
But okay. Yeah, you're not allowed to record it. And they did come out and tell us that ahead of time.
When we did the episode last week, we hadn't heard the response from Jim Griffin and Dick Harpootlian, Alex attorneys, about at that point. All we had was that the feds said Alex Murdoch was a liar and that he failed his lie detector test on many levels, showing dishonesty. So we hadn't heard the response. So if you haven't heard, let's get him up to speed about that, because there was a plea agreement, but then the feds are like, well, you failed.
They want to abandon this agreement because that was part of it. And part of the argument that the defense made was that they had not been provided with a polygraph chart to have an independent expert examine it.
So they want the full results, all the questions, all the things the defense does. Feds are like, sorry about your luck. And we had also wondered aloud, the lie detector or polygraph is not admissible in courts, yet they were doing it as part of this plea agreement.
Well, I was told that, you know, it's very typical of the federal government to require a polygraph examination if there's a plea deal. And typically, when this is done, if someone fails it, they're aware of it right away. And that I think maybe the defense has an opportunity to question the examiner.
Well, you're bringing that up, is it was failed in October.
It was failed in October. I think that they probably were aware that he failed.
You think?
Yes. This has all just come to light to us, is my sense.
Because, well, I thought Harpootlian and Griffin said something about this last minute, but they may have been referring to last minute as we're not accepting the plea, not last minute as we know he failed it.
Well, I think last minute meant that the government said we're abandoning the plea. They filed their...
Not the fact that they didn't know he failed the polygraph. When they say referring to the last minute, they were technically referring to a possible plea deal breaking down, which is different, right?
Yes. I mean, the defense did agree to the terms of this plea agreement and part of that is a requirement to take this polygraph examination.
And they didn't find out about the plea agreement, like it was the 29th or 30th or something. It was shortly before the sentencing hearing. Okay, so
in this filing, they have some kind of, they say that the pre-interview process was odd at best. They described the examiner telling Murdoch that he didn't believe that he had killed his wife and son, and that he had just come from Alabama where he had conducted a polygraph examination of Jordan Vandersloot, who was the man about the murder of Natalie Holloway.
So they're just saying that's odd, but does it really mean, what does it mean as far as the legitimacy of the polygraph? Just that it's odd isn't certainly enough. You're not going to beat the feds probably anyway on this.
Yeah, I want to really dive into this polygraph examination issue more. I mean, I think that polygraph examiners, when they initially meet with someone they're about to conduct an examination with, they try to make them comfortable.
And, it was, and if you say, I didn't think you killed your wife and kid, that would make them pretty
comfortable. Yeah, maybe it would make them comfortable. You want to break the ice, because I think most people going into a polygraph examination are probably pretty nervous.
And I will, I'm working on this polygraph expert I'm going to have on shortly, so that'll be a cool interview. Okay, so they want to, you know, that, and we all kind of knew that wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right, and there's another thing I think that was probably not going to go anywhere was they had filed a motion requesting to unseal the documents that the government had requested remain under seal because there's an active investigation into Alec Murdoch's crime and where all this money is.
Money is, possibly other attorneys.
And what, so Fitz, we talked about this in our last episode. There's another lawyer who apparently is under investigation. And that was, in filings, it said there was another lawyer. Well, Fitz now has come out and said that this attorney is Chris Wilson.
That's Fitz News. Fitz News, you can check them out at fitznews.com.
And Chris Wilson was a good friend of Alec Murdoch. He was actually on the phone with Alec Murdoch on his way to the mother's house the evening of the murders of Maggie
Multiple
Paul.
Times.
Yeah, yes, multiple times.
Right. He's also in the footage of Alec's birthday celebration.
That's right.
A week before the murders or something.
And he testified during the murder trial. There was an issue about missing funds. They were co-counsel on a case, and I think there was some confusion maybe possibly on Chris's part where the funds were going, and PMPD was seeking to find out where these funds were. And then Chris says he's shorted some money from Alec. He paid him back part of the money.
Just about anybody in Alec's circle, orbit, had some money taken from them.
Right. So he testified, but now he is possibly under investigation by the feds.
And yeah. And again, under investigation doesn't mean charges, doesn't mean indicted, doesn't mean anything will come of it. Just want to make that clear that as of this moment, he is not charged with anything.
Okay. So this trial was set to start at 10 a.m. and didn't start till, I think, 10:21. And they appeared to be in chambers. Now, Dick Harpootlian was not there. We had Jim Griffin and Bill Barber on behalf of the defense. So clearly, they were probably working out some issues in chambers. And when everyone came back into court, the defense withdrew their objection regarding the polygraph examination. And there was also some sort of dispute about the criminal history. The government wanted to include this tax evasion as part of his criminal history. He's not charged with that. It was kind of interesting because Jim Griffin said, well, he couldn't really fess up to these charges because then he would say, here,
yeah,
IRS, I stole this money, but I think I should pay some taxes on it.
That's part of the honesty I want. Yeah. I stole them, but I'm going to pay taxes on them.
Exactly. And there didn't seem to be any sort of objection to the restitution of over $8.72 million.
That's because Alec doesn't, as far as we know, have $8.72 million.
Right. It's just monopoly money at this point.
Yeah. I mean, if it's hidden on some offshore account or buried in the swamp, he's not going to admit to it.
No.
Pay it.
Well, so Gergel agreed to let the federal sentence run concurrently with the state time. So that was actually part of the plea deal. And he agreed that, yes, they should run together. And just to refresh everyone's memory, he received 27 years for the state financial crimes, of which he will serve at least 22 of those years.
The math is something like 76 or 77 years old. Assuming he doesn't have to serve the double life sentences for the murders of his wife.
Exactly. This is all just assuming that he gets a new trial and then is found innocent of the murders of his wife and son.
Griffin, Jim Griffin, the attorney for Ellick, talked about a turf war or something.
Yeah, and I had seen some headlines about this, you know, that there was a turf war between the South Carolina Attorney General's office and the feds about this case. And Gergel quickly shut him down and said, these are separate sovereigns and we're allowed to do that.
They're allowed to have turf wars? They're allowed to...
No, they're allowed to...
Do their own thing.
Yes, do their own thing. Exactly.
And not fight over it. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like even... I don't know where he was going with that, but he shut it down before we could find out, I guess.
Jim Griffith mentions like some very high profile cases where more money was stolen and the amount of time that certain people were given for these crimes. I think Elizabeth Holmes received 11 years, and she was that, what, Theros? Is that?
Yeah, she's the one who wore the black turtleneck all the time.
Yes. Then we have the Enron got 24 years.
The cryptocurrency thief, Sam Bankman-Fried, just recently was 25 years, was just sentenced to 25 years, and he stole 11 billion with a B.
Right. So obviously a lot more than what Alec Murdoch stole. Now, Gergel did jump in and he said, well, Madoff got 150 years.
And Bernie Madoff was really old at that time, too. So
right. No, he died in prison.
Yeah.
And then Gergel did mention that Alec, you know, stole from the most vulnerable individuals, a quadriplegic, motherless children. Yes. So he said that, you know, in my mind, he's thinking these things are a little different.
Should be hammered more, stealing from, you know, people who were vulnerable as opposed to stealing from the rich. Like the rich people would be like, I still lost $5 billion. But I see where he's going with it. Makes sense.
Yeah. And then we heard from Alec Murdoch. And he says that he is filled with sorrow, remorse, and guilt. He makes himself think about the victims every day. He says that the victims may think that he is not sorry for what he did, but that, you know, he's only sorry he got caught.
There's no way to know what's inside his brain.
Right. I don't think Judge Gergel was buying that based on his demeanor.
I don't know if it would have mattered, though, right? I mean, there's a plea deal.
No, the plea deal was abandoned. No, that's how the...
Okay, it was. But was he going to knock it down to 2 years? What is he, right? What Alex could have possibly said that made Gergel go... you look sad.
Well, you have to try.
You do.
And he talks about his addiction and that maybe possibly he was taking all these drugs to numb himself from what he was doing wrong. He says he's been clean for 937 days.
Good for him.
And that his addiction contributed to some of the things that he did.
I'm sure they did.
Now, Gergel also doesn't seem to buy this. He says, well, these were very complicated schemes. He either said some of the most or the most complicated schemes he's seen.
Really?
If you were really as addicted as you claim, could you have possibly pulled this off? He seduced people by promises of delivery of large amounts of money and that these victims placed their problems and hopes with Alec Murdoch.
Yeah, I mean, is the scheme that complicated if you've got a banker and another attorney working with you?
I mean,
does it seem that complicated? You just say, all right.
The fact that they haven't, they don't know where all this money is, it does seem pretty complicated to me personally, and that they were able to get away with it for so many years. Mm-hmm. And Judge Gergel has been on the bench, I don't know how many years, but he seems pretty seasoned that, yeah. I don't know, if he says it was one of his most complicated cases,
yeah,
that he's schemes he's seen, I believe him. Now, we also learned about 11 new victims and an additional $1.3 million of missing money. Now,
that's crazy.
Yes. And many of these victims want to remain anonymous, and they submitted victims impact statements.
That is crazy that we're just hearing about it now.
Now, we only heard from two victims. We heard from Tony Satterfield and Pamela Pinckney. Tony Satterfield says that he prays for Alec Murdoch daily. And Pamela Pinckney said, I love you with the love of Jesus Christ. These are very forgiving people.
I'd say so. Better people than me.
Now, Gergel did not allow attorneys to speak. Eric Bland wanted to speak on behalf of the Plyler sisters. And he says, I'm familiar with their case. I'm very familiar with their case. I'm here to hear from the victims. So then we hear from Emily Linehouse with the government, and she says that there were two interests that the government was trying to get to the bottom of with this plea deal. The first was the location of the $6 million of ill-gotten gains.
And that's the first we've heard an exact number.
Right.
I mean, well, in the last filing of the, but I mean, up until just a few months, we have not heard a number. It's always been like, I wonder how much is missing.
And well, and now we know estimated. There's an additional 1.3. So I think that, I don't know if that adds to it. I'm not quite certain. And also holding all accountable who may have conspired with Alec Murdaugh. And she says that they had four proffer sessions where they met with Alec Murdaugh and he had every opportunity to come clean. And she says Alec Murdaugh claimed that he was spending all these funds on drugs. But this does not make sense to her because in 2019, the money laundering escalated by millions and his polygraph indicated deception.
I think when remember he was given the numbers of how much he had spent and how many pills he'd taken, people were like, that seems you'll be dead.
It doesn't make sense.
And I wonder, reckless speculation, if he wasn't selling drugs to other people or giving drugs to other people, and did the feds ask him about that? We'll never know, I guess.
Well, we may know, but just not while the investigation is ongoing.
Right, that's true.
And further, she says that the victims were not made whole by Alec Murdaugh himself. A lot of them have received money back, the Satterfields, by insurance and the law firm and lots of different avenues that some of these victims have received money back. But none of these victims received anything from Alec Murdaugh himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they requested a 30-year sentence, which would have been an upward variance to the federal court guidelines for mm-hmm. the crimes that he was charged. So then we hear from Judge Gergel. And he says that he speaks to law students all the time, and he tells them that a law license is a license to do good. Now, Jim Griffith kind of pipes up and says, you know, questioning this polygraph, and he says that, you know, he is not putting any weight on the polygraph.
Who, Judge Gergel
says, I don't put any weight on the polygraph, and that, you know, polygraph, they're used as an investigative technique. And this is not something that I'm basing my sentence on.
Huh.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Right.
I mean,
they made a huge thing out of it, right? Only to...
He also like, says, you're the one who agreed to this.
Right. Well, yeah.
Which is true.
Well, he might not have had a choice, right?
Well,
you either agree or you don't get a plea.
Or you don't get a plea, but maybe he might have been better not to have agreed to a plea and just take his chances with the sentencing guidelines.
We figured Alec Murdaugh can lie his way through anything, even over a polygraph.
Yeah. So Judge Gergel gives him 480 months, which is about 40 years. So I think we should bring on my dad now and break down exactly what this 480 months, do you get any sort of time off, exactly how that works.
Let's talk about one of our sponsors. It is Factor. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh meal is never frozen and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, and they are ready in just 2 minutes.
Where did you have chili the other day?
Delicious.
And if you want gourmet meals, you can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. So head to factormeals.com/impact50 and use code impact50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That code's impact50 at factormeals.com/impact50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Impact 50 at factormeals.com/impact50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So they support us. Hopefully you'll support them. And who doesn't love going to the movies?
It is my favorite date night activity. And my daughter, she's a huge movie goer.
Oh yeah. I just went to, Kung Fu Panda 4 the other week at Regal Cinemas. And they're doing this cool thing called Regal Unlimited. Explain, Seton.
It is an all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just two visits.
Nice.
You can see any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions.
Love that. And also, if you want to do the souped-up versions, you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost.
And you don't just save on tickets, you also save on snacks.
Members get 10% off all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. regmovies.com/unlimited. And use our code IMPACTREG. REG. Impact REG. Do it now. So let's bring him in. Seton's dad, Matt Zambita, is with us, who's Temple Law School, a few decades of litigating, went to Penn School of Law, and he's just a smarty McSmarty pants. And Matt, it's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, you're so kind. Thank you, Matt.
Seton, start us off.
Okay, so Judge Gergel sentenced Alec Murdoch to 480 months, which is, I guess, 40 years, which is an upward variance for the federal court financial crimes. Like, what will he serve? Does he get any sort of reduction, or how does this work?
Yeah, there was during the Trump administration in 2017 to 2018 an act passed, 18 U.S.C. Section 3624B, which basically is what they call the First Step Program. And it went into effect on March 14th of 2022. What it basically does, for what you want to hear about, is for what they call good conduct time, you get 54 days of credit each year. So in Alex Murdoch's case, that means he would get 2,160 hours of good behavior time, which means that he could get a reduction of 5.92 years in his sentence. So he'd still have to serve about 34 years.
Okay, because it was interesting. Journalist Jonathan Siri with Fox News quoted Jim Griffith saying that this First Step Act, that he would get approximately 60% off of their time, which would equate to more of the 24-year sentence. So you don't think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think he said 40%. But yeah, I don't think that that's accurate. Now, the only other way he could possibly get a reduced time is a couple ways. One, if for some reason he had some other information about greater criminals, and he provided that information, maybe he could negotiate a reduced sentence. Another way is if he could get some sort of pardon or something like that, that would be another way in which it would happen. But under the First Step program, all he would get basically is a 15% reduction in his overall sentence.
Well, and all that seems pretty unlikely, the fact that he's failed a polygraph where the feds were seeking information about his missing ill-gotten gains and also who may have also been involved in conspiring with him. I don't know that the feds are going to be offering him any sort of deal.
He might change his mind. He might change his mind. I'll start, you know, what information does he have that could be worth anything? And that would be to start naming names who might also have been involved in stealing money or hiding the money.
And this is all saying that he gets a new trial for the murders,
right?
And that, you know, he gets off. I mean, these are a lot of...
He's got two life sentences and he was looking at. Yeah.
It's not. But so if all he gets is this 54 days or something like that, but do the math, he's probably looking, instead of in his 70s, he would be in his 80s when he would be ineligible for parole, which, I mean... state prison time is rough. I don't know how many inmates make it to their 80s.
Yeah, he's what, 56 now. So let's assume he did got the good behavior credit. That means he would get out around the age of 80. Assuming he was able to get the murder convictions overturned.
Right. And the odds, I mean, that's that fight's still a few years out, all the appeals and whatnot.
Well, and he's already with the state charges. He's in there. He's 27-year sentence, I believe. We've done the math. He is required to serve at least 22 of these years. So I don't think there's any real rush on working on these things because he's definitely going to be in jail till for the next 22 years.
Minimum, yeah.
Minimum.
So, yeah. So you know, when they were fighting that, trying to bring up the things about the polygraph, I'm assuming that you would agree there's not going to be much luck fighting the feds on those kind of things. If that's part of your deal, that you got to take one, and then you're like, well, throw that sucker out.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that he's going to have a tough time overturning what the good federal judge gave him in terms of a sentence. I think that probably the judge was right, as I understand it, not considering a polygraph, because polygraphs have come under a great deal of criticism. Many people believe that they're unreliable. I'm not sure the criteria they used in testing him. So I think what this came down to simply was that the judge looked at a lawyer who basically stole money from clients, many people of limited means, with horrific situations. And the judge just was deeply offended by that, didn't accept the state recommendation of 30 years, and decided that he was going to impose a greater sentence on him. And I think it was that simple, and I don't think it's going to be tough to I don't think you're going to be able to overturn a judge on that sort of sentence here.
I know we were talking earlier, and you mentioned something about what this turf war, and you're like, tell me your thoughts on that.
Oh, the turf war between the South Carolina State and the feds.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make sense. And I think Jim Griffin is a good lawyer and he's done a good job for his client. But that comment really didn't make much sense to me. I think that they had probably worked out at the same time or around the same time a deal with both the state prosecutors and the federal prosecutors for the 27-year term. You know, obviously situations change. You know, you still got to go before a judge who has to accept that recommendation. And it's really the judge who makes the determination and does it. So I don't think this was really a turf battle between the two. I just think it was a judge looking at it and believed that this is what the sentence is that he deserved.
Right. Very good. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your wise words as always.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dad.
And Seton, before we get out, you have a comment from someone you'd like to share.
Well, this is a consistent comment we've gotten a lot. I've really enjoyed these podcasts. Has anyone ever heard anything from any of the family members of Maggie? Their opinions of the trial results would speak volumes.
It is amazing how quiet they have been. Friends, you don't even hear from friends. I mean, they've really closed the circle.
No.
Even from the very, very beginning, you know, we had tried, and bigger fish than us have tried to paint a picture of Maggie with the help of family and friends, and no one thus far has been really able to found anyone that's willing to speak to that.
No, I mean, there was one article in the Post and Courier where John Marvin and Liz spoke about their relationship with her, but we really have not heard from her.
Her side of the family.
Her side of the family or from any of her friends. And I don't know, for us, probably Murdoch, we're moving on to lots of other different things. We keep saying, this seems like this could be it. This could be the last Murdoch episode for quite some time. I mean, there are appeals to come and maybe we'll still be doing those podcasts.
2 or 3 years from now when appeal comes up.
Exactly. But, you know, we're moving to other things, but we will cover other news if it comes.
Right. So, again, the YouTube channel, skipping a week with that, but we'll be back with that. So please subscribe. Evergreen Podcast Network, we're part of that. And you can find Impact of Influence on Facebook and comment there. Please rate and share and subscribe. And we'll talk soon, friend.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
My name is Bill Huffman, and I am a former Cleveland news producer, and I am now the host of the podcast, Who Killed? I began the show focusing on the unsolved murder of Amy Mihaljevic, and now each week I explore a different case with a focus on some of the victims who don't get the attention they deserve. I have a deep catalog of over 225 episodes, so there is a guarantee there will be something for you. Who Killed is an Evergreen Podcasts, Killer Podcasts, and Slow Burn Media production. Subscribe today wherever you get your favorite shows.